Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Tuesday, the third day of January 2012. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. Last week, we brought you the top Sitka headlines of 2011, but Raven Radio reaches seven other communities where life is also busy. KCAW's Ed Ronco called community leaders across the listening area to see what the big events of 2011 were in their communities. He heard back from Tenneke Springs, Yakutat, and Cake.
My name is Don Pegues. I am the mayor of Tenneke Springs, have been for a little while. Our population varies. The official U.S. census, I believe, is around 104, and we vary from 70 in the wintertime to maybe 125, 130 in the summer. The goings-on, of course, were probably our annual 4th of July celebration, which is extremely well attended by the townspeople, visitors from Juneau, Sitka, Haines, Skagway, and they all come down for the 4th, and we just have a great time. The famous 3-minute parade through the center of the community, and singing, dancing, and all that kind of good stuff, and good, real good food. In the construction end of it, we haven't had too much going on. We did get an upgrade on our passenger transfer facility for the state ferry out on our city dock. We had it widened out a little bit to accommodate the throngs that come on and off.
I'm Dave Stone. I'm the mayor of Yakutat City and Borough, the most remote community in the United States. And we have a population here of 660 people. We finally got our roads paved. They resurfaced the state roads, and then they paved about a mile and a half of our city road that is well traveled on to the boat harbor. But we had to promise that from now on, we'll provide all the maintenance on the highway, on this particular mile and a half stretch. We accepted that agreement, and our people here are doing a very good job of keeping the roads plowed. We don't have the equipment the state had, but we still are doing a decent job. We had 83 inches of snow in November. We also, right now, we're building a new power plant. It will probably be up and running around March or April. We had an old power plant that's been serving us for the last 40 years, and right now we have a brand new one, and we are also putting in more efficient diesels.
Henrich Kadake Sr., the mayor of Cake, population in Cake is right around 570. We just completed redoing our whole boat harbor. It's one of the things that happened this year. Put a lot of new fingers in, and got the floats all fixed up and putting in, and we're still in the process of finishing it up, but we're putting in a new aluminum gangway covered one, and we spent about $1.5 million on it from grant money. And they just finished up with OVK and the feds. Finished up our Jenny Creek Bridge. Got a brand new bridge. It's complete, and in the springtime they're going to start widening our road to Seal Point. We got enough money from the grant money to get a new brand new fire truck for our community, which we desperately need, because all our fire trucks are really ancient. It's looking better, and people are looking up, and there's more things happening in Cake than they have been in the last 10 years.
That was the mayors of Tenneke Springs, Yakutat, and Cake, reflecting on 2011 from their communities. They were, in order, Don Pegues, Dave Stone, and Henrich Kadake, Sr. All of our In a Year in Review content is posted on our website at kcaw.org. If we hear from the other communities, we'll add their voices on the website, too. Like Sitka, a former pulp mill site in Ketchikan was purchased by the city and borough after the company shut down. And now a Ketchikan company has purchased the borough's remaining property in Ward Cove for $2.1 million. As Deanna Garrison reports, Ward Cove Industries is hoping the former Ketchikan pulp mill site will become a new hub for southern Southeast Alaska's maritime, mining, and fishing industries.
Ward Cove Industries is a new startup company owned by father-son team David and Andrew Spokley. The Spokleys own and operate Power Systems and Supplies of Alaska, a fuel and freight delivery company. A day after closing on the biggest purchase of their lives, 350 acres of tidelands and uplands in Ward Cove, Dave Spokley says the two remain optimistic about what the property can become.
When you look at the property, do you see an obligation and responsibility and a lot of work, or do you see an opportunity? And, you know, and depending on your mood, about 90% of the time we're always optimistic and we always see opportunity. Every once in a while you come down and you're just like a little tired and you're thinking, there's a lot of work to do here. But we've been studying it for quite some time now, and we actually have a lot of ideas, and we've been penciled them all out, and we have probably 20 that are working ideas that will work, that are economic and the community needs it.
Among other things, Ward Cove Industries is planning to build boats, manufacture modular floats, operate a welding and fabrication shop, install an industrial harbor, and partner with another company to develop a regional waste oil recycling facility. The Ketchikan Gateway Borough took ownership of the vast majority of Ward Cove following the collapse of Gateway Forest Products in 2002. Borough Mayor Dave Kiefer was elected to the assembly the year after in 2003.
I was there then and have sat through many meetings since then, hearing people say, well, if we should just do this with Ward Cove. We should do that with Ward Cove. And it's run the complete gamut. I mean, there's been a remarkable number of ideas out there. Unfortunately, most of them probably unrealistic. And we've also had outside companies come in with a lot of ideas, and obviously there have been at least two serious proposals what to do with the property, and neither one of those has worked out.
In 2006, the borough agreed to sell Ward Cove to an Arizona-based real estate development company, which formed a new corporation called the Renaissance Ketchikan Group. After multiple extensions, Renaissance owner Jerry Jenkins failed to come up with the $9 million necessary to purchase the property. In 2010, the owner of Glassply Boats offered to purchase the borough's Ward Cove property for $5.3 million. That deal also failed to materialize. Meanwhile, David Spokley says he and Andrew have been eyeing Ward Cove and developing their own plan to purchase the property.
Years and years ago, I mean, I've been looking at the mill, and I flew over and I told my wife years, like 15 years ago, that we would end up buying the mill. 20 years ago that we would buy the mill. And then when Andrew and I started talking about it, and if we bought the mill, what would we do with it? And that was 20 years ago. And it's just kind of like slowly dribbled on. And then as the opportunity, it got more likely that we were in a position to buy it, we started taking a little more serious look at it. And so about 5 years ago, was Jenkins on the property?
Yeah, about 5 years ago, we leased our office space in the veneer mill from Jenkins in order to study the mill.
Yeah, so we moved on to the mill, rented space for him just so we could be on the property. And so all of our lunch breaks are all spent driving around the mill and walking around and looking at it and studying and making plans and drawing our pictures then. And then this last spring, we'd come back from the Miners Association's convention. And while we were doing that, we come by and we're driving past, and I says, we should probably talk to him about looking at the mill. And Andrew says,
I was like, yeah, okay, because always one of those things far out, you know, now it's at our footstep.
Beyond their ability to come up with the financing to actually close on the property, Dave Spokley believes Ward Cove Industries stands a better chance at actually succeeding in developing Ward Cove than the two previous outside companies that made offers on the property.
We understand Southeast Alaska. Someone from the outside, what they did was they would just have see an opportunity, but their one little thing that they read in the paper or one little thought that they had. And so what they've narrowed themselves down, and every single time there was an opportunity or an interest in it, they had one little piece of the world that they thought they could make the mill go. And without a timber industry, without a wood resource for the community, that's not going to come back right away. And so by narrowing their focus to one little item, no one outside could really do it. And so Andrew and I have been living here and boating and flying and doing everything and hiking and camping and fishing. And so we're involved in almost everything that could be potentially done. And so we're aware of it at least. And so we stand a much better chance of making something happen here than someone from the outside does.
The former pulp mill property was identified as a Superfund site by the Environmental Protection Agency. David Spokley says he isn't concerned with any lingering environmental issues with the heavy industrial property. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
In other news, the sign-up period for eligible Alaskans to apply for their 2012 permanent fund dividend checks has begun. Applications can be submitted to the state through March 31st. The sign-up period began on New Year's Day, Sunday. Applications can be found online, or people can pick up the forms at distribution centers. Most Alaskans each received checks of $1,174 in the fall when the 2011 dividend was paid. The money comes from investment profits from Alaska's oil wealth savings account. And a Russian tanker that plans to deliver petroleum products to an iced-in Alaska city has arrived at a fishing port in Alaska's Aleutian Islands. The Coast Guard says the 370-foot tanker Renda anchored outside the port of Dutch Harbor late Monday afternoon. Lieutenant J.G. Ed Mishno said the vessel was being checked out to make sure it met regulations that would allow it to actually enter the port. The Renda has been granted a federal waiver that will allow it to load hundreds of thousands of gallons of gasoline. That fuel is bound for Nome on Alaska's western coast. A huge storm this fall delayed delivery by barge, and by the time the weather had improved, Nome was iced in. If all goes as planned, the Renda is expected to arrive in Nome by the second week in January. The Coast Guard's only functioning icebreaker is on hand to help. Weatherman says we can expect snow changing to rain by this afternoon, snow accumulation up to 1 inch, highs around 42 degrees, east winds increasing 15 to 25 miles per hour in the morning. Rain tonight, lows around 36 degrees, southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. It's currently 39 degrees under overcast skies. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. It's 1 minute past the hour. Good morning.